Welcome to Spectrum from China America Radio, a weekly public service production featuring news, information, and stories of interest to our China America Radio listeners in the United States and around the world.
Hello, this is Spectrum Show. I'm your co-host, Cy Su, and right now we're walking inside Museum of Chinese in America. Beside me is the man who made all this happen, the curator Herb Tam. So tell me more about this exhibition.
So we just opened two exhibitions for the fall of 2018. One is called Radical Machines, Chinese in the Information Age. And this exhibition deals with essentially Chinese language and technology and how different people at different times try to create a typewriter or word processing machines for the Chinese language. And then the other exhibition is called Interior Lives, Photographs of Chinese Americans in the 1980s by Bud Glick.
So today, where do we start from which exhibition?
So let's start in Radical Machines.
Yeah, let's take a look.
This exhibition starts out with one of the oldest Chinese typewriters that is in existence in the world. It's actually from our collection, from Mocha's collection. It's from 1926. And it was donated to us a few years ago. And it's really interesting because you see right away how different this kind of typewriter is from, you know, an American language, English language typewriter. First thing you notice is that there's no keyboard. And that's because, you know, Chinese language has no alphabet. So, you know, one of the big problems when they're developing this machine is, you know, how do you fit all the 70,000 words, 70,000 characters of Chinese language onto one machine? And, you know, so the show kind of expands on this idea, starting from this machine, and goes through, you know, what people were thinking about when they were trying to develop a Chinese typewriter.
How did this donation happen?
So we were contacted by the people that donated the typewriter to us a few years ago. They said, you know, that we've had this typewriter in our collection for a long time. It's a Chinese typewriter, and, you know, we think Mocha is the right place for it. And at that time, we didn't know either what a Chinese typewriter was and what the history of it was, but we thought it would be it seemed like a really important historical object, so we took it from them. It had been sitting in their basement for a long time. They didn't know what to do with it. So when we took it, you know, it was a really heavy. The first thing you notice, it's very heavy, and it's an old, you know, it's got a lot of steel parts to it, and you know, we had it in our collection, and when this exhibition was being developed, We sent an image of this to the curator, Tom Mullaney, and he was in shock because he knew this typewriter, and he knew that there weren't many that were still around, that were still surviving. So he, you know, he really wanted to include it in the exhibition, and you know, he really created this context for this piece. And now that he, you know, has done the show, we really know what the history of this machine is, and you know, why it's so significant.
How do you know Tom Mullaney?
He curated this exhibition in Stanford, at Stanford University in California, and then reached out to us that he was doing it, and if it would be something that would be good for Mocha eventually. And you know, when we saw it, we thought it would be a great project for us and our visitors because, you know, so many of our visitors we know are trying to learn Chinese, trying to learn how to read, write, and speak. And there are also people who come to the museum whose, you know, their first language is Chinese. They're much more comfortable in Chinese. And so we thought it would be a great intersection for people to learn about, you know, the history of Chinese language and technology, especially because it's a history that's not really well known. Everybody knows about, you know, English language typewriters, but I think a lot of people just have never seen a Chinese typewriter, you know, including people who are very familiar with the language.
But what about those people who don't speak, understand, you know, read Chinese characters. For those people, which is probably the majority of the second generation or the third generation of Chinese American, how do you curate or plan this exhibition so that the exhibition would be related to them, make them feel related to the exhibition?
Yeah, we we really wanted to make it accessible, no matter if you spoke Chinese or not. And so there's a few panels that kind of introduce, you know, just the concept of a Chinese character to you, you know, that it's made up of radicals, like these parts, you know, that there are X amount of characters. And so I think the exhibition does a good job of just laying out, like, the scope of Chinese language. And then there are a lot of, you know, unique personal stories that I think a lot of people who, you know, are not native speakers of Chinese can relate to. You know, somebody who went to NYU that wound up inventing a really early experimental typewriter that never got really developed. But I think it's a story you can relate to. You know, a lot of NYU students come here. There are people who didn't actually speak or read or write Mandarin in the early 20th century that tried to anyway create a Chinese typewriter, even though they didn't know how to speak the language. You know, they just thought it was a sort of technological problem that they could solve without actually knowing the language. So I think there's a lot to learn about Chinese culture in this exhibition, even if you don't know how to read or write Chinese. The exhibition is divided into basically four big sections. We're standing in the second one, and this deals with early kind of movable type that was originally developed in China centuries and centuries ago, almost 1,000 years ago. And, you know, movable type is just the idea that, you know, you could take blocks of characters and put it into a big kind of plate, create a full kind of sentence or paragraph out of it, or a full text out of it, and then use that to print, you know, what you want, and to print, you know, what you want, and print it many times. So Chinese invented that, you know, a long, long time ago before the Europeans invented it. But the Chinese kind of left that technology behind because they thought, It seemed that wood block could keep the sort of character of calligraphy better. But anyway, so the exhibition starts off with that story, goes into Morse code, you know, telegraphy, which is was a really important form of kind of interaction and communication, exchanging messages through code that represented, you know, characters, basically, or alphabet. So the show talks about that and how it was difficult for that technology to adapt to Chinese language, again, because it had so many characters that were unique. And then later on in the exhibition, the third section of the exhibition deals with actual typewriters that were developed in the late 19th century, turn of the 20th century.
And usually the exhibitions in other places would stop at the first or the second section talking about the movable typing or calligraphy, because I know the exhibition claimed that is one of, you know, one of the first exhibitions that really delve into, yeah, about the technologies and Chinese characters, the, yeah, relationship between them.
This show does an excellent job of you know, not just talking about the history of, not just the story of the typewriter and how it was developed, but about the kind of underlying politics and issues associated with technology as it relates to Chinese language. I mean, one of the themes of the show is that, you know, technology is not some neutral thing. You know, technology is, especially with language, is very sort of slanted one way or the other. And with, you know, things like typewriter, Morse code, computing, those were developed with English in mind. Those were developed with the idea that English was, you know, the lingua franca that everybody would understand. But as we know, English is a very different language than Chinese. And so from a technological standpoint, what the show kind of argues is that the people who are trying to invent the Chinese typewriter and other ways of word processing Chinese had a very limited imagination for what this technology could be. And so there's a sort of prejudice that I think was formed right away when people were trying to develop a Chinese typewriter, and there was I think the attitude was, well, Chinese doesn't fit. You know, Chinese is too complex, is too unwieldy, is too big. You know, so we need to try to make it fit into this thing we have already built, this thing we've already imagined. And I think that that's the kind of special thing about the show. It tells a great story about Chinese technology and the and kind of advancements of that technology with Chinese language, but it also does a great job of having a critical perspective on technology, you know, as it relates to Chineseness.
The discussion about Chinese typing is never just about technology, but sometimes very political as well. As you know, like many people do claim that Chinese characters are too complicated to fit in the technological world, and which is one of the reasons it has been simplified. And recent years in mainland China, there are some discussions about maybe they should resume using traditional Chinese characters.
Yeah.
Like, how do you think exhibitions like this can help the discussion about the usage of simplified Chinese characters and traditional Chinese characters?
It just raises the issue of that language is not some fixed thing. It's not something that is always going to be like the way it is now. You know, for example, you know, when people are creating technology for Chinese language, there are some people in China who are thinking that maybe they should get rid of Chinese characters, written Chinese characters, and instead use the English alphabet. You know, in essence, replacing Chinese characters with pinyin. That obviously never happened. And but that was one of the kind of ways that people imagined they could solve Chinese for technology.
How do you make international audiences who are using smartphones and using, for example, Cantonese typing program,
yeah,
instead of just pinyin,
yeah,
relate to this exhibition?
I mean, this is one, I think, one story in essence. And, you know, it's as comprehensive as Tom could make it. But I think, you know, like you said, there are other systems. And I think we mentioned some of those other systems. But, you know, hopefully people, again, become interested in the story, in the history of, you know, Chinese language machines, Chinese typewriters, word processors, the technology of that has existed for, you know, Chinese language. And hopefully we become interested enough to explore a little bit more.
So that concludes our Spectrum program for this week. Have you ever seen a Chinese typewriter? Well, you can. You can see several of them in the exhibit called Radical Machines, Chinese in the Information Age. It's running from now through March 24th at the Museum of Chinese in America on Center Street in Chinatown, New York City. Special thanks to our reporter, Cy Swu, and of course, curator and director of exhibitions, Herb Tam, for today's program. There'll be more on MoCA exhibits coming up in future programs here on Spectrum on China America Radio.
Join us every weekend for Spectrum on China America Radio, a weekly public service program featuring news, information, lifestyle experiences, and stories of interest to our listeners in the United States and around the world. If you have suggestions for future topics or guests to be featured on an upcoming Spectrum program, send them to us at programming@ChinaAmericaRadio.com.